Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
You choose to homeschool your children.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really big on the public school system. Those curriculums are heavily based off the teachings and the thought process of success of our actual oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to hold my child to a standard where I celebrate him or punish him based off what his oppressors deem was the keys to success was just crazy to me.
I'm a diverse individual. All of this shit is real. Everybody like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it. All of it. I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend. It's all real. Real, real. This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harris. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris. Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Welcome to Expeditiously. This is a very important episode, as we always do. We want to have discussions with people who have different perspectives that can push the culture forward and fuel the next generation. Now, my guest today is a self-made entrepreneur. You've seen him all over the net. You know what I'm saying? He's a best-selling author, a very committed father of five, and over 500,000 people follow him on the gram. You know what I mean? I want y'all to welcome my partner, Derrick Grace. What's happening? What's happening, little bro?
Appreciate it. Enjoying this good weather in Atlanta.
That's right. That's right. Now, you moved up here from Tampa, right?
No. I haven't even officially moved yet. I was looking at some properties, but we haven't confirmed nothing yet.
Okay.
But I plan to, though.
But you want to make the move.
Absolutely.
And Tampa is your home.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You were born and raised there.
Yeah, all 30 years been there.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Now, I first came to know about you from, you know, on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and it was when you and your daughter and I think your son, you were kind of going through some principles and you know what I'm saying, some rules and codes of conduct, some protocols and procedures with them. And I was impressed at,
appreciate
how your parenting skill translated, you know, even through Instagram to me. And it's not many times as a father I see somebody, you know what I'm saying, who kind of, you know, pull something out their bag that I ain't got, you know what I'm saying? I think that was pretty cool.
Appreciate that.
So tell us about your grind, man. When did you know for sure that you were an entrepreneur?
Back in 2012, I was a 911 dispatcher at the time.
What?
Yeah.
You were a 911 dispatcher?
Yeah, for sure.
Before the tax?
No. I had tatted my whole body. I never hit my face, though.
Right, so before the face tax?
Yeah. Only thing I hadn't hit was my hands, my head, my face, and my neck.
Okay, gotcha.
But I ended up losing that job. And what I realized at that point is, a lot of us don't really know how much control these disenfranchised entities have over our lives until they actually snatch their power back.
Mm.
So it feels good when you're on the vacations, you're getting the overtime. You know, you got your comfort, you in your secure spot.
Yeah.
But they don't really show you how much they don't value you or how disposable you are until they really snatch it back. So I remember when I lost that job in 2012, I told myself, I never wanted to be tied into corporate America again unless it was a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got the first tattoo on my face. And two,
the first one?
The first one was, it looked like an A over here. It's an ancient symbol of strength.
Gotcha.
That was the very first one I got. And maybe probably within like 2 weeks, I had 9 more.
What?
No. I got a real like,
what else say new rules?
Yeah.
Starts here.
Absolutely. That's what, like when I created the Unlearn and Relearn movement, that's what it was all about, us whitewashing out pretty much everything we've been taught and doubling back, getting our own individual perspective on life.
Right. Now, I am with the Unlearn, Relearn movement, man. I think everything that we've been taught is a construct of a systemic oppression.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? that has been cast upon us and passed down from generation to generation. So I do know all of this shit is a, it's a sham.
Yeah.
I get it. You dig what I'm saying? Right. I ain't finna just, you know, go yell and scream from the mountaintop, but I will tell you, most of the shit that you've been taught to believe is absolutely false, just as sure as the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we both have our children in the room, and I didn't feel good saying that, because I didn't think either of our children would go through the trouble of believing such a fictitious falsity.
Absolutely.
So how, what got you motivated to unlearn and relearn?
Well, one, when I was dispatching, I began to see that, like, a lot of the game is really played by who you know.
Right.
And based upon your connections or who you have ties to, you're going to be able to navigate this jungle at a much smoother route. And even when you run into a bump in the road, you're going to be able to get them bump in the roads removed, at, you know, much easier than the common man can.
Mm-hmm.
So I most sort of stopped, like, focusing on who had factions and who had groups of people who can make things move, but trying to figure out how I could do it with my own people or emulate their systems, but make sure my people was the beneficiaries.
Right.
So really, like, the biggest thing that did it, I had a shooting in 2015.
A shooting?
Yeah, yeah. I shot two people in 2015.
You say that so casually.
I mean, not casual. We from Florida. It's like the Wild Wild West out there. Everybody got guns out there.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, just
so.
And people don't understand how Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Carolina, Tennessee,
Texas too. They
and Texas.
Care. They run around.
They
with
don't understand how these places, like, man, if you want to stand out, then don't carry one.
Right. you know, you ain't lying. Anybody
I'm probably the only person who ain't carrying a gun around here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you shot two people in 2015. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're speaking on it, you know, and you speak as an intelligent person, so I'm assuming that there's no open investigation.
Oh, yeah, no. It was closed. It was done.
So what happened? Can you speak on it?
Yeah, for sure. It was my 25th birthday. And I was going to get the young lady who was my lady at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I hate driving. So when I pulled up to where I was getting her from, I automatically jumped in the passenger seat because I hate driving.
Right.
So I'm talking on one phone and I'm texting on another. I ain't even get a chance to tell I was outside.
Right.
But some relatives of hers were having an argument that spilled over. I mean, you ever had that moment where you and your mama might be arguing? Well, bro, you got siblings. You ever had that moment where you and mama may be arguing, one of your siblings come in the room and they just get a whooping just because they showed up?
Mm-mm.
Or
I ain't never grew. I grew up as I was the only child. I got a little brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I got some older sisters, but nah, man, I ain't never.
Well, just bro,
I got all my ass whoopings by myself.
well, I say this, even in the streets, you may have had time where you had an issue with one individual, he had somebody with him, so he ended up having to take the brunt of the punishment, too, just because he was with him.
Like, if me and my homeboy arguing and somebody who with him trying to jump
in to your homeboy, y'all both going to turn around and be like, hold on.
Absolutely.
I'm able to call my homeboy and not you.
Yeah.
So it was one of them situations where they was already
that when they realized you are the outsider.
Absolutely.
You are the weakest link.
That's what I realized that day. So they having an argument. I end up pulling up at a bad time. It's my birthday. I got my daughter with me, too. So the last thing I'm thinking about is some static.
Right.
You know, things unfold. They end up opening my car doors. And
what?
Yeah, dude, you know,
that's
just
a violation.
Absolutely. Especially with your children.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. You know, so briefly after that, I end up shooting both of them. And
so they opened. They had firearms on them when they opened up the code.
No, they have firearms. But just by my rules, if I got my baby with me, like
you ain't did nothing wrong. Yeah, I see no fire.
You could be 30.
No
you could be 35 and 3 feet tall. But if I got my baby and try to violate me, like I'm gonna handle you. However, I handle you that day.
I see no foul here.
so but the only bad part about it, right, was one of them happened to be her mother, and she jumped in the way. I was
Ooh.
Aiming to shoot the son. I ended up shooting mom too. So that's where, like, it got a little weird, because
no women and children.
Yeah, absolutely. Cross, and no world
code.
Right. And nowhere do you get kudos for shooting a woman
not at all.
So that happened, but what really helped me to understand more so, like, knowing certain people and knowing certain things was the way that they handled my case.
Mm.
And basically, like,
it was basically stand your ground.
Absolutely. It was on your ground for sure, but just the way in that they took me in to the interrogation, to all that, I understood, like, I have certain family ties within law enforcement that allowed me, in my personal opinion, it allowed me to be handled differently than most people would have been handled.
Okay.
And realizing that, it just more so fueled me to educate my people on, like, a lot of people don't know, bro, it's a whole war going on outside.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just about here lollygagging, knowing, like, it's a whole faction of anyone people that want to see y'all demise.
Anyone who's read Behold the Pale Horse knows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, bro, that's one of the biggest things that pushed me to another level to be like, I got to go harder with educating my people because they really don't know, like, it's just...
So they dropped the charges.
Absolutely.
And nobody died.
There was no charge whatsoever.
And no death.
No death.
Okay, that's positive.
Like, it was that real that they came back to me and asked me, did I want to press charges for vehicular burglary?
Nah.
And I'm like, bro, their mama got shot. Like, enough damage been done. Just let it go.
Yeah.
But, that was really one of the biggest things that... let me know I had to go even harder with my teachings and educating people.
And so that was in
2015, yeah.
And at this time, you had already walked away from the job.
I had been an entrepreneur for 3 years already at that point.
Okay, gotcha. So as an entrepreneur, what was the first step you took to build your empire?
I tell you, the first step, I had took so many steps. So one of the biggest ones I took, listening to Nip and his teachings, was just trying to get complete ownership over everything I was doing and creating my own price points and not following the market.
Right.
So by the time I came out with my second book, we was charging anywhere from $50 to $100 for that book because I felt like that's what it was valued at. That's the one that made me a number one selling author. That one ended up going number one.
Mm.
And from that point on, when I saw that formula work, I remember years ago he talked about reading Contagious, and I picked up Contagious.
Okay.
I didn't read the whole thing. I read maybe 70 pages and it clicked. And then from there, that's when I had already told myself I was on Amazon. I'm like,
Contagious by who? Because that's what we do here. That's one Jonah of the Berger. Things we do. Who?
Jonah Berger.
Jonah Berger.
Yeah.
Contagious by Jonah Berger.
Absolutely. That was a game changer for me. But I had already told myself, I'm like, you know what? Once my following and my influence get to a certain level, I'm snatching my stuff off Amazon. We're just going to use Amazon as a vehicle to get bigger.
Right.
But once the bread hit a certain point, we're getting out of there. Because anybody that's on Amazon, they typically taking 60% of your earnings anyway.
60.
Yeah, so it ain't even worth it. And I tell people, like, the reason why most of these entities in power as is because they have relevant names.
Right.
Because, like, we can create our own Amazon. We can create our own YouTube. But because they have relevant names... It just sound better to be like my book on Amazon rather than my book on DerekGrace2.com.
Right.
So what I did at that point, after we went number one, we basically used them in a sense, and they got paid too.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a business transaction.
Yeah, we got the number one. We snatched everything off, and then we went independent with everything from self publishing and everything. And at that point, my units didn't go. We didn't sell as many units, but we made more money, and we kept all the money. And that was that's what made the biggest difference for me to invest in other parts of my business.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you co-parent your 5 children, and you got, you know, 2 different ladies in your life that assist you with that.
I got 3. Well, 3 baby mamas total, 5 children.
Okay, so 3 ladies in your life that assist you with parenting your 5 children.
Right.
All right. At one point, you all lived under the same roof, though, right?
2 of them, yeah, we lived under the
same roof. 2 of them lived under the same roof. Well, why the third one get left out?
She in the military.
Okay, gotcha.
I ain't gonna lie, though. She wouldn't have went for it anyway.
She wouldn't have went for it?
Nah, she wouldn't have came.
Well, what you mean, why not?
And she, back then, she wasn't as fun as the other baby mamas.
Well, how about this? What is it that the other two have that you think she doesn't? What kind of concept or philosophy is it?
A lot of her ways and thought patterns are based on traditionalism. Mm. So a lot of times she's not even receptive to different information. She won't even hear it out.
Mm.
So that's why I think that wouldn't have went nowhere, because her teachings from older people would already told her, like, don't go for that whatsoever.
Well, for those out there who want to be smelling what you're selling, why don't you lay it out there, man? Tell them exactly what's the procedure? What is the lifestyle? Is it polyamorous?
No, not at all. So, bro, this how I was working. I was with one mom, and then the other mom had a girlfriend. So it was really 2 couples living in one house, but it was one man and 3 women.
Okay. Okay, wait a minute. All right. So you and your 5 children.
It was 4, because I had Melanin, God, Derek, and Derek. They all got to experience that.
You say Melanin?
Yeah, Melanin, God.
God.
Derek and Derek.
Derek and Derek.
Yeah.
All right, so you have your 4 children, and you have your companion, and the a mother of one of the four children also stays with you, who's not a companion.
Yeah, she had her own companion.
She has a companion, right, though. Okay. Okay, so basically y'all two couples is just roommating.
Yep, that's
and just happen to share children.
Yeah, and my okay. Those two daughters, God and Melanin, are 5 weeks apart. So we had one. Melanin
wait a
was
minute. Excuse me?
Yeah, 5 weeks apart.
House. Okay, so see, now I understand. I got a 19-year-old and two 18-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? My 18-year-old's 3 months apart.
I got you.
You know, so I can I understand how one could find himself in such a situation. Living together under the same roof, however, that is a complete, like, I am astonished.
Yeah, appreciate it. I think a lot of that is based off with co-parents, especially, and even in a situation, it's just having a healthy level of communication.
How long did this go? Did this go on?
About 3 years.
Okay, so you got, just for lack of a better term, you, your old lady, your baby mama, and her old lady.
Right.
Whew. How those women get along?
Nah, they actually got along well.
And how did they all get along with you?
Yeah, no, they got along well for the most part.
Seemed like they would have kicked your ass out of there.
No. We as a group and collectively, we had a great time.
And we function
very well, especially for the, like, I know one thing about children love is, like most children, they have options. So, meaning, like, if one said no, I've literally seen them, like, bounce to four different people and ask the same question. So, I know, like, my children loved it because they just, you know, it was a house full of energy. You had a lot of outlets and, like, and a lot of people go to pick up other people's slack.
Right.
But no, like, collectively, we work well. We gel well. We share a lot of the same ideas and concepts. So,
okay.
Yeah, we bump heads on a lot.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Now, of course, as a committed, dedicated, and present father, I ask you how important you feel it is to be an involved father.
I mean, I feel like it's extremely important. I feel like the lack of fathering is one of the main reasons we have a lot of lost young ladies and we have a lot of not so strong young men. So, I think to me, the father is just as vital as the mother. She come with the nurturing. She gonna have a different level of understanding, and your father gonna, you know, more than likely, he gonna give you a masculine energy, give you strength, and put you on a type of game that a lot of women, especially young girls, need, and sons.
Sure. Now, you know, I agree completely. I mean, I think that at a time like now, it is dangerous to be the dinosaur of the dads of yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I believe in what I believe in, and I know, you know what I'm saying? I know that I have a pure heart, and that gives me a clear conscience. Hey, what's going on, man? Let's take a pause in the discussion to talk about Verishop. Now, Verishop is a new online shopping site with the fashionable brands you need for every moment in your life, from women and men's fashion to home decor, beauty and wellness, and they get your purchase to you fast with free one-day shipping and free returns with no membership fee and no minimum purchases required, which means you can even buy a pair of socks with free one-day shipping just to see how you like it. Now, how you love that? Verishop's expert retail team hand selects and sources every single item from more than 300 brands all over the world, so there's no chance of counterfeits or fake goods. Get fashion brands like Vince, Levi's, and Deadwood. Then you can even get home decor brands like Ball & Branch, Staub & Smeg, and beauty and grooming brands like Blind Barber, all in one place with the premium shopping experience you deserve. Now, the holiday season is officially here, and there's a new destination where I'll be finding the gifts that I need, and it's all in one place. Shop Verishop for the fastest free shipping out there. And with my promo code, new Verishop customers can take 15% off the first purchase to try it out. Just go to Verishop.com and use my code TIP. That's Verishop, Verishop.com, with the code TIP for 15% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Now go on ahead, shop, get your drip together. Have you ever found yourself in a position where other neighbors or people around you within the community saw your parenting style and criticized you or judged you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? How does that work?
I mean, I get it all the time. Like, when we first put the gun videos out with the gun education, that was the biggest one. Like, they went in on me for days.
And guess what? See, now, me, myself, personally, I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because you know why? It's It's redneck white boys teaching their kids the same thing at the same age. They going hunting. They fishing. You know what I mean? They teaching them how to skin deer.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? How to scale fish.
Right.
And all kinds of other things at a very, very early age. And how to defend the house.
Right.
And to be quite honest, it never raises any antennas. No, nobody's ever alarmed. So why is it that when my brother, who's a black man with long dreads and a face full of tattoos, but a caring, loving, and committed father, why when he shares the knowledge of self-defense with firearms with his children and presents that to the world, why is it so ostracized?
I think a lot of it got to do with us as a culture. A lot of us have poor self-image. So, like, I just had this conversation a couple of days ago. I've seen a video that'll say Tip, Jay-Z, and Diddy part of the Illuminati.
Mm.
Because a nigga can't get money in this country and keep his morals intact.
No.
But you'll see, they'll post, what's bro name that got Amazon?
Bezos.
We'll repost him all day.
Yeah.
We don't claim Illuminati. We don't say nothing bad about him. Right. We just, Jeff Bezos made this and that. He made this and that. So I think our self-image is so low that we actually look at our peers and ourselves like, who are you to try to be something? Like, who is you niggas to try to win?
Right.
So I think that's what it really stemmed from.
Who are you to do something different?
Absolutely. So when you
what gives you the fucking nerve?
Right. So when you get proactive about things, it actually scares us, to me, for two reasons. One, it turns a mirror on the lackluster effort we put towards being ready for life.
Right.
And then it just scares us to be like you said, like, who would you to try to be great or to try to figure this life stuff out?
How dare you? The audacity.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right. And I also think that people project their fears and failures onto other people.
Right.
The fact that, they feel like, man, for me to make it, I'd have had to join the Illuminati. Right, so they must have had to.
Absolutely.
Man, quite naturally, I've never been invited to the Illuminati to whoever's asking. You get it direct from my mouth. I don't even know what the fuck the shit like really means.
Right.
And I'm far too anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. I roll too far against the machine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And color too much out the lines for anyone to even assume or believe that such a thing would be possible for me.
Yeah.
I have a very, 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 very hard time with authority, like following rules.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't, it just doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Like, who are you to enforce these rules? You ain't following the rules either.
Absolutely.
You breaking them somewhere.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you breaking them,
yeah,
what make
why
you
not?
Why are you enforcing me? It means it's a free-for-all now.
Yeah.
So that means I'm going to abide by the things that I feel like keep my morals and values intact.
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying? I follow God's law, know? And God told me to be fruitful and multiply, what I'm saying? Now, you introduce your children to self-defense with firearms and also other things that they need to know on their journey.
Right.
Some people may have adverse opinion to that, but they can never say that you're not a good father.
Absolutely.
Because your actions and reputations, it states that.
Right, and that's one of the biggest things I try to tell people. Like, I call it preventative maintenance.
Mm. So
because they're reactive, they typically wait on adversity to hit, and then they try to educate their children to a level of understanding and how to overcome the issues. I more so assess life from my perspective and say, damn, all right, I need to prepare y'all how to handle money. I need to prepare y'all for peer pressure.
Mm.
We've been having a sex talk. For me, big bro, I focus on transparency.
Right.
And one of the biggest things I ever say is like, if don't nobody know me at my funeral thoroughly, my children will.
Right.
We have very transparent conversations, but a lot of parents don't want to admit that parenthood is a competition. A lot of them have a sense of entitlement because they actually created them or birthed them, but not realizing like, if your boyfriend was able to convince you to run away, or your old lady was able to convince you to buck your mama roots and sneak out the window, your mother is now competing with him for your attention and your guidance.
Right.
So a lot of parents don't want to be honest to say, like, you competing with the television, the TV, the homies, the homegirls, everything. So for me,
not to mention the Instagram.
Exactly. Like,
damn comments.
And the gram's so broad now. Like, I remember last year, like, when the video came out with Blac Chyna, the fact that it's youngins on social media or their friends got social media, your child just got introduced to something that you too scared to have a conversation with them
this
about.
Is real.
So now, like, you gotta accelerate the
curriculum.
Exactly. No, you got to, because technology is so advanced, it's so broad that they can get access to anything.
Yeah.
I know, like, I'm 30, so we had MySpace, but other than that, like, MySpace wasn't turned up like the gram.
Man, let me tell you something. I'm 39.
Yeah.
We had girly magazines, and, you know, trying to sneak up, stay up late to watch the fuzzy channels.
Right.
If you got the right cable box,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to go between this channel, and you can slide the picture would show partial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I saw a nipple.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine being able to, at the push of a button, Google intercourse?
Right.
Like kids can, if they got a phone, they got a data plan.
It's going down.
They can Google whatever they want to see.
Exactly.
And you can't stop it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of access must come with a certain level of guidance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Certain level of direction.
Right.
A certain level of awareness.
For sure.
So I don't have a problem with what you're doing. Could you give us an example of what we saw on the video, just so, you know what I'm saying, if you and your daughter could do a demonstration for us?
Which one, bro?
When you kind of went through different questions and
okay.
asked them different stuff.
Come on, bro. Come help me out. Come
yes,
on, man. Stop acting crazy.
Princess. Major, pay attention.
All right, bro. So how old are you?
8.
All right. Tell me how to create an LLC.
Choose a name for your LLC. Decide who will be your registered agent. Create articles, organization. Draw up an operating agreement. File for an EIN number.
Okay, now slow down for me this time. Tell me what an EIN number is.
It's a unique identification number that could be assigned by the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, which is Uncle Sam.
Do we bang with Uncle Sam at all?
No.
No, we don't really rock with him, do we? All right, listen, before you pick up a gun, though, what's the 4 things to do?
Make sure the gun is empty, check the clip, and do not point it at anybody you're not willing to destroy.
I appreciate you, babe. One more thing, because, too, a lot of us that's getting money or that's in the e-commerce world, period, we rely on banks. Tell me what's that thing called fractional reserve banking that banks get off on the people more than the people get off on the bank.
Banks get permission to governments to loan flip and gamble other people's money.
I appreciate you, babe. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Princess. That was amazing. Did you see that, Major?
Yes.
Major said he's afraid of what might happen next. Nah, I'm not going to quiz you today, Major. I'm not going to do that. You know, I know how you are. And, you know, Major, he had a long day in school. And so we going to make sure that he has an opportunity to observe and set a bar for himself now that he's seen. How old are you? She's 8. How old are you, Major?
11.
11. You got some work to do, buddy. But it's all right, because you're a hard worker and a great kid. Now, speaking of which, so Major just got out of school today. Mm-hmm. We've been spending the rest of the day together. That's my buddy. My little genius, a brilliant mind, if I mm-hmm. must say so myself. But you choose to homeschool
right.
your children.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me what's the thought behind that?
I'm not really big on the public school system. I'm going to say in Florida, though, because for me to generalize them all over the nation would be wrong, because I ain't been everywhere all over the nation to check them.
Right.
But I'm going to say in Florida, though, my son was, I integrated him into that system. And what I began to realize is that one of the biggest things that bothered me with the public school system is, those curriculums are, a lot of them are based off traditionalism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were heavily based off the teachings and the thought process of success of our actual oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens 3 generations later is that the grandchildren of our oppressors are the actual people who may be teaching our children.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to hold my child to a standard where I celebrate him or punish him based off what his oppressors deemed was the keys to success was just crazy to me. And I ain't gonna say I always thought that, because I didn't. Like I said, my son was in public school, but at a certain point I took him out because I began to realize, like, I don't know if they have it in the A, but they taught us about Pythagorean theorem. I don't know if they had it in the A or even parallelograms.
Yeah.
I know that's all over the world.
Absolutely.
But as I look at my journey, as I ain't go to college long. I got like 4 credits and left. It just wasn't for me.
Right.
But as I look at my journey and people around me, I begin to realize, like, to me, school has turned into like a daycare where adults take their children while they handle their adult duties.
Mm.
Because a lot of the information that they're giving in there don't really benefit them long term. And then too, like, research says that most children are only learning maybe I think 2 hours and 15 minutes to 2 hours and 50 minutes a day.
Mm.
The remainder of the day is free time, lunchtime, heads up, seven up, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So once I started paying attention to that, and then I started paying attention to the bias on how, like, they section off our culture typically in certain schools and other, like, even down to the way they reprimand, it's totally, it's a lot of it's handled different when it comes to our culture.
That's right.
And I just knew, like, I didn't want the nurturing of my child's mind to be in the hands of the people who had a granddad that didn't appreciate my children being alive, period. Yeah, that's why, like, even like even punishing, I think I have that conversation with parents all the time, like, think about putting your hands on your child because they don't perform well in a system that wasn't created for them in the first place.
Right.
So I do feel like basics wise, they do have some great things in school. Like for me, I'm not gonna lie, only thing I appreciated in school was English and reading. Ooh. And I happen to be a number one selling author, so I'm not gonna knock them. Yeah, I'm not gonna knock them and say they ain't give me nothing because they did. Right. Some tools they did give me, but right. For the most part,
and mathematics.
Yeah, mathematics, because you know, entrepreneurship,
that don't change.
Right,
that don't change. You can't change math.
So I mean, they do have some pluses about them. I'm not gonna say they all.
They
bad,
can't cap on that math though.
Yeah,
they
for
can't
sure.
Cap on that math. You know, I made an algebra teacher quit.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, man. In Doug High, I was in 10th grade. I was clad clown, man, all 12. Well, I ain't go 12 whole years, but every year I went to school, you know what I'm saying? I dropped out in the 10th grade, but I was clad clown. And this is the highlight of my class clowning career.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an algebra teacher, and we was going back and forth about me showing my work in algebra. And I do math in my head. I kept giving him the right answer, so he was thinking that I was cheating or whatever. But I really had the right answer, so finally. And I just kept saying throughout that course of that section that you can't make us show our work. You can't make us. As long as we know it, we don't have to show you how we arrived.
Right.
And so he called me up to the board and asked me, all right, will you come teach the class? I'm like, man, thought you'd never ask.
All right.
So I get up there, like, all right, well, cool. Well, they tell you to do that, but you don't really need to do that, because if you know this, then you know that, you know, all you got to do is blah, 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 and you ain't got to write that down, just remember it, and then you use that, to, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. And I wrote out the right answer, and the whole classroom erupted.
Yeah.
And he said, I ain't got to take this shit. Fuck these kids. Grabbed this stuff and walked out and never came back.
Yeah.
He quit that day for being a teacher.
Right.
No bullshit, no Jeff, no cap. When he left, I thought he was going to get the principal on me.
Yeah.
And he never came back. The bell rung. The next day, it was a substitute. And it was a substitute from the rest of the
day. Was out of there.
He never came back, bro. And now that I look back, I think, good. Because your ass didn't have no business in there, no way in the first place.
Right.
You know, because obviously, either you weren't equipped or weren't passionate about educating in any way. Because one thing you should have known is that I knew my stuff.
Right.
And you supposed to be able to know somebody who faking from somebody who really know what they doing.
Yeah.
And you should have saw me as an advanced student and dealt with me differently, because exceptions are made for exceptional circumstances.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that public school don't do, or school curriculum don't do well anyway. They don't deal with our children as individuals.
Absolutely.
They expect every child to learn on the same pace, to learn from the same methods, and to perform the same way.
And that was one of the things that happened with my son. The teacher would be like, oh, he do his work, but he go find trouble to get into when he done. I'm like, well, maybe y'all ain't challenging him enough.
Yeah.
He'll do stuff like, he'll knock the work out, get an A, but crawl under the desk or break pencils or cause a disruption. I was like, well, is he a terrible child, or is y'all work just not challenging? But they ain't get it, so we end up parting ways.
Say, man, it's already December. Can you believe that? As much as we love getting seasonal, we all know this month can be a bit stressful. So we've got a long list of things to do for the holidays. If life insurance is one of those things that's way down on your list, Policy Genius may be able to help you cross it off, all right? They'll find you the right life insurance at the best price and do all the work to help get you covered. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. Now, you can save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, or even disability insurance. So if you need life insurance but you aren't sure where to start, Why not start at PolicyGenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, and cross another thing off your to-do list. You dig? Policy Genius, when it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. Mm. So now, when you take on the responsibility of homeschooling, are you hiring someone to homeschool, or you're doing it?
No, I started doing it myself. So one of the first ways that I figured out, I initially signed him up for a homeschool program that was online.
Okay.
And I it was crazy, right? Because I go through their curriculum too.
Uh-huh.
It's basically the same stuff they teaching them in the building. I remember getting with the, because they have like a virtual teacher you can always hit up if you need help.
Okay.
And I remember we came to a spot and he had a history lesson and they wanted me to teach him about Columbus.
Nah.
I remember hitting, I was like, hey, I'm not comfortable teaching him that. She was like, look, Mr. Grace, you just insert what you feel like is history in your opinion and go from there. And I did that, and I'm like, wait. I remember it dawned, I'm like, damn, this teaching thing ain't really that hard. I ain't got to use y'all stuff at all. So from that point on, me and her communicated a little while longer, and I just started inserting what I felt like he needed to know. And then from that point on, I was like, okay, I guess I could kind of teach because he getting it.
Right.
He digested it, and I went from there.
You've written a few books about your curriculum called Unlearn and Relearn.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with it, and what grade level does it go up to?
I got you. So I started out with books. I started out with my autobiography, and then I got the Gods Amongst Men series. That's a self-help type of collection. It's mm-hmm. like 4 or 5 of those. The curriculum started because I made a video in 2016 that ended up going viral, where mm-hmm. I was teaching them about entrepreneurship, ownership, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a demand from the people. And I ain't gonna lie, I had maybe like 2,000 followers at that point. I just woke up one day. It was June 8th on her birthday. I woke up one day and my following like at like 62,000. My phone jumping and somebody like, you went viral. I'm like, what's that? They was like, that's like, that means you big on the internet and your video got a bunch of views. I'm like, oh, okay. I ain't think nothing of it. But literally by the weekend, the demand came and people was like, how can we teach our children that?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so I sat down.
That's what I'm trying. My next question was, can you teach this to Major?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, Major needs to know this. Derek, will you please teach Major? Bless you, darling. Would you please teach Major some of the stuff you know? Would you mind? Major, would you mind learning?
No, man. Hey, he looking like I ain't got time for that.
I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Y'all go and let Derek run some of the stuff by you. And then when you come back, you know, you can show me what you learned. So the curriculum that you came up with, it goes up to what grade level?
So, big bro, when I write them, I try to write them from the depending on what the topic is, but I try to write them from the perspective of both parent and child.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have Parent-Child Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
I got a co-parenting curriculum. I got one called Corner to Corporate that speaks from a street level and a corporate level and showing them both how they can basically control their destinies.
Mm.
So, basically telling you how to walk away from the corporate structure, create your own structure. And if you a street dude, how to take the resources you have, handle them a certain way so you can then transition to a corporate structure and be an actual legit businessman. And then I got the Family Journal. That one is more so like how I deal with my children. Mm-hmm. The kid glove theory, like that's something I created a while back. It's just knowing how to speak and how to deal with your children with a certain handle that you don't deal with everybody else. Like, just give you a quick example in the co-parenting curriculum, right? I got this example and I was like, when law enforcement jump behind you, people typically, even if you ain't nervous, you just gonna make sure you got your seatbelt on and things of that nature so they ain't got no reason to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll have people who deal with the mother, their child, the mother, their father, and never use these type of tools. So you understand how to put your kid gloves on in certain situations so they don't escalate. But you'll speak to your baby father in a manner or use trigger words that you know gonna piss him off to get his attention in a negative way.
Mm.
So, I mean, no different than when you got your phone on you and your boss walk by, you're going to take the phone and do like this just to avoid that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So why not put the kid gloves on when you're dealing with the mother of or the father of your child and handle them in the same manner just to avoid any trouble, extra turmoil? So
mm-hmm.
I got it from co-parenting to business to firearms. You know, I'm huge on firearms. I love guns. But
you know what? Me too. I just can't handle
it. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I got like 6 or 7, 7, 8 curriculums. But as far as the ages, I try to write them from both perspectives so the youngin' can understand and the mother or the father can understand on how to approach the youngin' with this information.
But if I wanted to homeschool my children, mm-hmm. you telling me that you have a curriculum that I could follow that would allow them to pass?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like through example with my own
it's
children.
It's accredited?
No, it's not.
It's not a credit.
It's not. So
I have to teach them this in addition to.
Absolutely. It's an additive. That's what I tell everybody. Gotcha. It's an additive. And for me, it's more so the real world information that we really need.
Okay.
Like not knocking school completely. There's some things in there that matter, but.
Yeah, I think you get a lot of social interaction, mm-hmm. teach you how to deal with people. I also teach you how to discipline yourself to doing something and dealing with people that you don't necessarily want to deal with,
right,
in order to accomplish a goal.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think that dealing with the teacher that you hate to deal with,
mm-hmm.
prepares you for dealing with
definitely
the coworker,
for sure.
or the employer,
mm-hmm.
that you hate to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if you never learned that in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade,
right,
then when you get to that place, you'll be foreign. It'll be foreign to
right,
you.
Right.
Unless, you know, you become an entrepreneur like mm-hmm. your children are and sell, you know what I'm saying, a million board games. And, you know what I'm saying? So a board game, now that's different.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate it.
You have a board game. A lot mm-hmm. of people have books.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of motherfuckers wear chains and do music and shoot videos and influence on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
But actually having a board game.
Yep.
So you see, this is the thing that I see. You are developing systems. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because you write books that are curriculums to be taught.
Right.
That's a system.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You're talking to me and philosophizing about a theory of how people can interact and communicate and co-parent together
mm-hmm. right.
in harmony.
Right.
So, see, that is a system that has to be set. And that, to me, is prolific.
Appreciate that.
Because it take a lot of time. Most motherfuckers, myself included, I'm going to focus on how to strategize and to, you know, discipline myself to deal with my family.
Right.
But I ain't got time to sit down and write this shit down for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I'm gonna get it together for us.
Right, right.
But y'all gonna have to pick up on mine as it go. But you actually took the time out, set mm-hmm. yourself down, and the curriculum, the books, the biographies, all of that led to the in-home banking board game.
Yeah, for sure. So the concept started in 2017, which is crazy, right? Because
what made you want a board game?
So I do courses on in-home banking.
Okay.
And what I realize is that traditional learning and teaching is phasing out.
Mm.
You're going to have to find, bro, the best advice Banner ever gave me. He hit me in 2017.
Talk about my big brother, David Banner.
Yeah, for sure. He hit me in 2017. And I just had made up my mind. I was like, you know what? Fuck these people. They don't listen. I'm tired of talking to them.
Man, that's right where I'm at.
Yeah.
Boy, you talking about, boy, you read my mind, boy, right before I walked in here.
He hit
Jeez,
me, right?
How you get yourself out of that, man?
Bro, Banner helped me, right? He hit me on some random
because I
gram.
Really stopped caring, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People really showed me the worst
I ain't gonna lie. I've been there where I like, damn.
I really stopped caring. Like, you know what I'm saying? I the worst thing, the worst feeling to have is feeling like you just got to continuously fight with the people you fighting for.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But that's exactly how I felt, right? So, at this point,
it feels like you defeated. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just like getting hit with multiple catch-22s. Like, all right, I whoop this, and then y'all going to come up with another reason.
You know
reason
what I mean? You're going to continue to just move the finish line every time.
Right.
I feel like I have, you know, satisfied mm-hmm. a certain section of improvement.
Right, but
you still got this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, bro. You find me a perfect person with a perfect message, and mm-hmm. then tell him he can take my spot.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, bro. So it was 2017. Just had got that feeling like, man, hell, these people, I ain't fucking with them.
Right.
I literally said, you know what? I'm finna go back to just strictly entrepreneur and take care of my family. And
you know what
off.
I mean? Me and mine.
Right.
Banner, get it how you live.
Banner hit me in the DM, and he like, bro, I sent him a message one day, and he finally seen it that day. He hit me back,
right.
He like, call me. So we talking, he was like, bro, the best thing you could do for your people is meet them where they at. And when I know it's a simple line, but when he told me that, it changed everything. I was like, you know what?
That makes sense.
I'm peeping. I'm doing these courses. Like, our last course, we had like 2,800 students.
Dope.
52 people turning the homework, though.
What?
At the end, that's what I say.
But they paid you for the course.
Yeah.
They paid you to take the course.
Right.
It didn't bother to do
and apply none of the information.
They just wanted a picture.
Right. No, you know what? So on Sundays, we would do live courses.
Okay.
I started realizing someone just wanted to say what's up.
Yeah.
They really literally cut their Zoom call on. I was like, Derek, what's up, nigga? I'm like, what's going on with you? They hop out. They gone. I ain't learned nothing. So I'm like, okay. Some of y'all just wanted to hang out. That's why y'all should, of course.
Right.
But last October, we coming off the heels of the last course. I got some great medicine in my system.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what? We need to make this a board game. And what I realized at that point,
that medicine
is that
will do it for you.
It will.
You know
it
what I'm will. Saying? It'll talk to you if you listen.
Hey, so what I realized at that point, I'm like, our culture so overly invested in entertainment,
mm-hmm.
I got to find a way to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this method was like more so medicine in the candy. So when you say board game, people go initially think fun.
Right.
Until they open it up and realize you got to learn about laws and trust in here. You got to learn about the difference between driving and traveling. So when the folks pull you over, they can't handle you how they want to handle you.
Mm.
So that's really how it morphed into the actual board game, was me just saying, I got to meet y'all where y'all at, because traditional education don't entertain y'all. It's not fun enough.
Right.
So I had to basically lie to them like they was going to have the time of their life. And so they opened and was like, man, this nigga really trying to make me learn something. Like,
but do they actually play the game?
Yeah,
let's play the game, man. Come
so
on.
So look, even to play the game, right?
Okay.
You got to define.
Y'all want to play a game? Yeah. We're playing the in-home banking game.
And yeah, just so y'all know, like, big bro, this one is an actual sample. This one ain't never came out. Wanted to make sure you had a special one, but this is an actual sample.
But you got the perm on right here.
Yeah, bro. Look, this is the thing, right?
What is this, silk and slim? That's the pimp. You stay away from the pimp.
Hey, the fact that you got a sample.
Stay away from the pimp.
You going to have, like, if you look at the front of the board, too.
Okay.
They messed up with baby Jerry. My baby got the slick back. I don't know. Derek got the mystical plaits and all. But we going to fix that on the fish. I would say
okay,
this
cool.
is actual
so the pimp
sample.
Ain't going to be on there.
No. This is actual sample.
See, that's how they
want
to see us, see?
Exactly.
That's how they want to see us. You know what I'm saying? With a conk looking like. What is Detroit Red?
Right.
Instead of like Malcolm X, you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Okay, we will interrupt the conversation expeditiously because we want to talk to you about something important, especially for the holidays, and that's meat. Hey, when it comes to meat, quality matters, you know what I'm saying? But there's more to it than texture and taste. And there's nothing like a family holiday celebration with the right cut of meat. So treat yourself to the curated, high-quality selection of meats from ButcherBox. Every month, ButcherBox will ship a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. All meat is free of antibiotics and added hormones. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, you know what I'm saying? Butcher Box is a no-brainer. It's the best meat shipped right to your door, okay? That means one less trip to the grocery store, alright? You can enjoy options like 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage pork if that's what you're into, wild-caught Alaskan salmon like I like it, and sugar nitrate-free bacon. It's the way meat should be. Butcher Box is the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy, humanely raised meat. With Butcher Box, you can get the highest quality meat for around $6 a meal, I say. And they even have free shipping nationwide except Alaska and Hawaii. Right now, you can get 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon absolutely free, plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/TI. That's butcherbox.com/TI, or use promo code TI at checkout. Okay, now this is just a reminder for everybody to go to expeditiously.com to get all of your Expeditiously merch. And if you don't know how to spell it, look it up, motherfucker. It's the information age. Expeditiously.com. You ain't even got to make the TI capital in the middle, man. But go and get your merch right now, man, because it is available. And I can tell you, you know, with a clear conscience and a pure heart, you buy it, you wear it, you look better. I know you're not ready for this from the end yet, so expeditiously shall continue.
The thing about the game, though, is that even to play the game, by directions, you got to define the intellectual property. So
okay.
These spots are intellectual properties, like trade lines and CPNs.
Mm.
That's a big thing a lot of our culture not educated on. Other cultures know it.
Now, what is trade lines? What's trade lines and CPNs?
Basically, how people from other cultures are basically creating whole new lines because they can get a CPN and a trade line. Attach an 800 credit score to it. Next thing you know, in 2 years, they got enough buying power to have, like, they got 800 credit score worth of buying power. Meanwhile, we don't know no better, so we'll get a 500 because we made some mistakes at 19 not knowing how to use our credit.
Right.
And we stuck with that shit till we 40 years old because nobody came to us and told us, like, look, you know you can get a trade line and CPN and get a whole new life.
Right.
Or, like, the credit statute of limitations. Just how crime drop off, certain mm-hmm. crimes, after 7 years, right. Credit does too.
Uh-huh.
So you got people who 18 who dealing with something at 29 that's still on their credit. You know, it could be something like a petty phone bill. But due to the credit statute limitation, after 7 years, they got to remove that.
Right.
But, no, so basically, like, those are all those spots are intellectual properties that you see right there. Like, these cards match up with those spots by color. So, like, one of my favorite ones, gold purchase. I always try to educate people on the value of gold versus the dollar.
Right.
Which is why, like, even with my jewelry, I go so heavy with my gold because I'm trying to retain a lot of value
it's
through
an
my
investment.
Gold. Exactly.
Yeah, Nip and I talked about that.
Yeah, him and Killer Mike was, like, the first two people who ever really got me on that wave to understanding, yeah. Like,
I mean, for real for me, man. With the, you know what I'm saying? When I saw the first kilo.
Yeah, yeah.
The kilo Cuban.
Right, right.
I had to have it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And you know, and then he also showed me how to check the market. And he's like, man, you just notice where gold is at when you buy it. Because a kilo of gold ain't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's around your neck, sitting in a vault, whatever it is.
Right.
Still a kilo of gold.
Exactly.
So you check, if you buy it on this day and gold is worth $1,200 mm-hmm. an ounce or whatnot. Then you, if you keep it for a year and it's worth $1,800 an ounce,
right.
You get rid of it. You done made that much money. You dig what I'm saying? And so I did. I made a little change off mine,
mm-hmm.
and once it got up there, I got rid of it. So I think that's something that's very valuable for the kid. But now you show me how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Show me how to have fun, cause that's what the kids want. That's what
gotcha.
Is it fun, Derrica? You like
so
it?
So look, to me, this the funnest aspect. To me,
it's mine.
To me, this the funnest aspect, right? With games like Monopoly, you had to compete, which is cool. But with this game, we practice collective economics.
Oh.
So the way it works is, like, you could trade properties with somebody or they could loan you money. So say, like, if we got somebody that's finna play and they greedy, like, the way to win is get seven intellectual properties.
Because
they say by statistics, the person with seven streams of income is a millionaire first. So basically, the way we set it up is, like, this is one of the funnest parts of me, is your partner can, not necessarily your partner, but other people playing can decide not to loan you nothing.
Right.
So, like, I done had times, like, I play with my pops, and he convinced Derrica to give him money that I don't feel like she should have gave him. So, he ended up winning the game because Derrica looking at it from a papa aspect. And I'm like, nah,
Grandpa.
Babe. Yeah, I'm like, nah, babe, he trying to bamboozle you. Keep your money. So, no, that to me, that's where it really get fun. Like of course, to start with, like the direction said, you got to do the learning first
because
I wanted learning to be the priority.
Okay.
But once you define these intellectual properties, like I said, like, you see at the bottom and say you define it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're able to define those, and that's when the game get fun.
Credit,
like,
utilization rules. Is it where's the dictionary or the key? The legend? There's no legend.
No, it's not one. I want them to work. They gotta go do their independent research.
What?
Yeah.
I think you should have a legend to say, okay, so I need to know what credit utilization is. I can go here. All right, credit utilization. And
I got
kind of give them a little paragraph where they can read up on it.
I got
that. Would
well,
be
look,
a good
I will
upgrade.
Say this because they gave me that idea last time when we
right.
put it. So this is the 30th anniversary edition. Like, this one ain't
the
coming
30th
out.
Anniversary.
Yeah, my 30th birthday.
Okay, gotcha. I'm about to say this thing been out 30 years.
No. So this one ain't coming out to mid next year, but you got yours already. But that's something that's next go around with this version where we will have that because she did tell me that last
then
time.
We're going to be worth more money. I got the pimp.
Yeah. No. You definitely, you Banner, my song, and Wallow got one that nobody else got. Nobody will never had those because they only sent me five of those. I kept one and I gifted the rest out, but.
That's fine.
So, yeah, bro, nah, just out the gate, they have to define what they got to do. And I, you know what, bro? A lot of people ask me that. They hit me and I'm like, where is there a key or is there a God? I'm like, nah, go do your Googles and do your work.
But it is true. You can't go to your Google.
Right.
You can't
go
to your Google.
To begin with, though, they would have to define those, and then, like you say, you pick your piece over there. So, big bro, one thing I'm huge on, right? And I'm gonna give you a lot of credit on this one too, because I ain't gonna lie. There is no other father of our culture that I saw instill this, and it's definitely a page I took out your book. But I'm big on family business.
Right.
I'm big on making sure my children are intentionally front and center on everything I do.
Right.
So, from the board game to every book to every curriculum. To the video game we coming out with about in-home banking with PS4, Xbox, and PC,
mm-hmm.
I've plastered my children on absolutely everything. So their likeness grows as mine grows. So even down to the pieces, this all family. That's my Grace tribe. That's my children. That's my children business. This is my cousin who do a lot of my work.
How do you know one from the other? It's a name.
Yeah, the name on top. And then also what we did to make sure, like, we gave the culture a shot to be a part of it too, is we allowed people to buy spaces, advertising space within the game.
Mm.
So this one right here says...
Like NASCAR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even like when you look at the directions, we plug in. Everybody that's rocking with us, we rocking with them. So these people purchase actual spaces in here. So I know this young lady, she got a lemonade business out of New Orleans.
Hmm.
Hood Estates, one of the biggest, best real estate people, real estate companies I know out in Jacksonville. So
Right. We
also did that too. Just like I say, like outside of just the game, my lifestyle period by group economics. How can me and my people gather together?
How much you count to get on the game?
Big bro, the prices vary, but they like a piece of like.
You might need to put the Trap Music Museum on here.
No, for sure, bro. Just I ain't told nobody this yet, but Banner character is already in the video game.
That's right.
I ain't even said it yet. I ain't showed it yet, but
right. He
got a whole character that's gonna be.
So now, how did it go from a board game to a video game?
I remember when was it? It probably was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. I was going to see my jeweler, and I'm sitting in there with him. We having a conversation. And I'm just also thinking, like, how do we continue to expand the in-home banking brand?
Right.
And I remember, like, I don't watch TV at all, but I do pay attention on the gram. I'm on the internet all the time. And I'm seeing the Fortnite madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing my research, and I'm like, damn, you know, the video game industry, it's headed towards being a trillion-dollar industry.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, like I said, I'm with preventative maintenance. I'm trying to figure out how can we get ahead of things rather than sitting around waiting.
That's right.
So I hit my project manager who handled the board game. I'm like, bro, I want a video game. And he was like, you serious? I'm like, yeah. He was like, look, I got these dudes in Spain who willing to do it, but it's a catch. He was like, you got to wire them around $90,000 tomorrow morning.
Huh?
Yeah. He said, wire them $90,000 tomorrow morning. He was like, I'll get you the coding pack that they have for Grand Theft Auto. He was like, it's never been done, bro, because it's not easy to get that coding pack. You got to know somebody.
$90,000?
Yeah, to start it. Just
tomorrow.
To start. Yeah, tomorrow morning.
I'm
in the jury store spending money as is. I'm like, damn, bro, I just bought it. You know what, matter of fact, it was around May 1st. I had just got the Nipsey piece. I had just got that one out. And he like, you got to wire it ASAP. And he was like, one more thing.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
that sound good.
He like, one more thing. He like, look, these dudes got to dedicate their lives if you want this game done by tax time next year.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be ready by this upcoming year around February.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, cool. He like, they only need $154 an hour. So I'm like,
plus the 90.
No, big bro, it's like a $900,000 project total at this point. So he like, they need 100.
You know how much it costs to make a game? Me and Major were talking about making a game. He said $900,000 so far.
Yeah, that's
like, you know, almost to the big stick.
Well, I already knew it was going to be a lot.
You did?
I already knew it would be a lot to make a game.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's close to the big stick.
Yeah. So he like, catch me on guard, right? He like, hey, it's only $154 an hour. I'm like, $154 ain't nothing. I'm like, how many hours though?
1 hour.
Yeah. I'm like, how many hours though? He was like, oh man, ain't that bad. It's only like $6,789. I was like, I go get my phone. I'm like, bro.
$6,789 hours?
Yeah. He like.
For two.
No. Hold on, bro. It might have been 100. No, it was 6,000.
What?
Right? So I do the math. I'm like, bro, you talking about $800,000. He was like, well, look, give me the 90 and they'll break the rest up in increments. I got out that next one of us saying him like 80 something and some change. And we start rolling. And at this point, it's 12 developers out in Spain who making the game happen.
Oh,
so
that's
cool. It's coming along. But by February, full-blown game will be out for PC, Xbox, and PC.
What do you want this board game to teach the next generation?
I really wanted my biggest thing I want them to understand above everything is common sense and traditionalism are friends.
Mm.
And that if we don't figure out a way to deviate from the system that we've seen fail us 100 times, we really not going to get far. Like, as I look past 3 to 4 generations and we watch them do the same thing over and over again, at some point we just got to wake up and be like, you know what, we might need to try something different. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in this problematic cycle. So in-home banking for me, as far as the generations coming, I just want, like, it really go back to unlearn and relearn. I want them to know, like, adaptation is a must.
Right.
Because too many people moving with that 1979 theory and wondering why, like, it ain't cracking. It's not going to crack. Like, it's 2019. Artificial intelligence, robots are here. You still trying to do things the way that they did it back in 85. So that's my biggest thing, is just advancing the youngins that's coming behind us. Like, my motto has always been, I want my children to be able to trump me in a third of the time.
Mm.
I'm 30, she 8. My oldest is 11, which means they right at that point where y'all got to get y'all shit together and y'all got to kick fully off. Yeah, y'all right at that point where y'all got to get y'all shit together and y'all got to kick it off, because If not, I'm not even living by my own standards that I set for myself.
That's real. That's real. I mean, so I heard that you said that, you know, a lot of young people in our culture aren't investing in their future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, explain why you said that.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm only 30, but mm-hmm. just from the research and the things that I've seen in the past,
mm-hmm.
I feel like this generation do got the power to change things. They Absolutely. Just got to redirect their mindset.
Every generation has the power to change things. It's just yeah. which one of them actually going to stand up and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this generation move with a level of fearlessness that mm-hmm. if directed the right way, could be extremely dangerous.
I could dig that.
But I just think a lot of times, you know, like every other generation, they get caught up in certain things and they don't move forward. But as far as like entrepreneurship and businesses, like I said, I'm only 30. I ain't been here super long, but
right.
I've never seen a period like this where so many people are eager to control their own destiny and control the board and do things their way.
That makes sense. Yep. That makes sense. Now, you're also in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what have you learned about like investing in property?
That's a funny one. I took my first L actually probably like 3 weeks ago. I bought a property January 6th this year. A lot.
Yeah.
And
just a lot.
Yeah, just a lot.
How big?
How big that lot? That 1 acre.
Okay, an acre.
Yeah.
Where in Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right outside of town. It's called Sefner. But
gotcha.
I bought a lot out there, and I ended up losing like $5,000 on it. But it was a learning curve.
Why?
You know what? It wasn't. It really didn't even have nothing to do with the value of the lot. It's the permits that they pulled when I first got the lot. I ain't make that money back. So I broke even in a sense as far as value, but
you
I lost
a valuable lesson.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. So outside of that, I just got it. Me and my pops together, we just acquired another house that's been in our family. How long has been our family that? I know it's built 100 years ago, but. Yeah,
1912.
So we're in the process. We're gonna go through the demolition process, and then we're gonna actually build like apartment units on that one.
Mm.
So that'd be another
multifamily.
Yeah, multifamily for sure.
Real estate is something that's near and dear to my portfolio because I too have been making plays in real estate ever since, man, probably. Before I put out my first album, I was buying houses, flipping houses, renovating houses. And it made me feel a sense of accomplishment because, the first house that me and my uncle did was a crack house that I sold dope out of.
Gotcha.
And I actually saw that house become a home for a family.
Mm-hmm.
That made me feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, 8 months later when I saw it was a crack house again, it kind of let me know you got to move, accelerate
right.
the curriculum.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? we ended up doing about 80-some houses over the course of probably 8-9 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
wait, bro, I remember that. What was the name of it?
New Finish.
I remember that because you had an interview and you was talking about a... I seen it, bro, because it was something you had built. I remember, though.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Construction. Probably duplex, triplex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the market crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And when the market crashed, I lost a few hundred thousand. And I was like, man, you know what? I got a day job. I don't have to take this.
Right.
I wasn't willing to stick it out, But I did learn what I saw. I learned after the market kind of bounced back, I saw that commercial real estate didn't take a dive.
Right.
Commercial real estate sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what motivated me to dive back in
right.
with commercial real estate. And I got a few things around here, man. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm proudest about is I purchased a plaza that was a Kmart and an old abandoned grocery store.
Gotcha.
And at first when I bought it, I wanted to make it a club. I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to make it a big ass club.
You had
man.
One though, right?
Yeah, Crucial. This is down the street from Club Crucial.
Okay.
I'm talking walking distance.
Gotcha.
Both of them are on Bankhead, my old neighborhood where I used to ride my bike. This is the building that was the Kmart where I went in and bought my Nintendo games and, saved up my money to go and buy stuff for my bike and so on and so forth. And the grocery store that my grandmama went and shopped at to feed my family, to feed her family. And so buying that was real dope to me. And I just wanted to make it a club. But then the time that it took me to actually draw up the plans to make a club, I said, you know what? A club would be it would be profitable, but that would be conventional. That would be normal. That would be what motherfuckers is expecting you to do.
Right.
What can we do that's needed to the community that's that could be an asset to the community?
Gotcha.
And that's what we partnered with the City of Atlanta, Atlanta Housing Authority, and Invest Atlanta, and we're about to break ground this January on our first project. As me as a developer, which is a 200-unit multifamily mixed use, with like 21,000 square feet of retail, community garden, community center.
Gotcha.
And it's gonna be all affordable.
Right.
And I wanna introduce, you know, an aspirational way of living to this community.
Right.
When people are trying to drive everybody out with gentrification, I want to create a way for people who made the community what it is.
Right.
For them to be able to stay and reap the benefits of, you know, this.
That garden thing gonna be amazing.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to see if I can fit me a greenhouse in there too. But you know, that's something that I'm extremely proud of, and I think that long term, my goal is to build a skyscraper on Bankhead. And anybody who's from Atlanta, that sounds preposterous, I know. You know what I'm saying? But to build a skyscraper on Bankhead, I know it sounds preposterous, but I've already started acquiring the land, and I'm, as soon as I get a few more pieces, my assemblage will be complete. Yeah. So I salute you and admire you for being able to just swim upstream when everybody else your age and you know if you're like just from where you from, everybody is kind of doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
For you to be able to dare to be different, that's something that's commendable and noble.
Appreciate it.
You know, I think that you should be celebrated for it.
Appreciate it. I want to tell you something too.
Sure.
I remember I made a video, right?
Uh-huh.
I was trying to buy this school building in my city.
Okay.
I had like $100,000 cash on me.
Right.
And bro, I want to tell you too, like sometimes it just be the verbal salute that go a long way. You had jumped in there and you was like, bro, whenever y'all ready, just shoot. Just hit me some along them lines, bro.
Yeah.
But that fire alone, bro, because literally nobody responded. People was in the comments, you know, people in the comments and whoop-de-whoop, but you was the only person, bro. You, Juice from the Flatbush Zombies.
Right.
And Banner was probably like the only three people who even like looked at it and was like, I'm taking this nigga kind of serious.
Right.
But bro, just that, bro.
$100,000 cash, you got to take that seriously.
Yeah.
That's not to be frowned at.
I didn't want to tell you in person, you know, bro, because I never got to tell you, but that verbal push like was enough, because it was some nights I was like, fuck this school. Make a school for what? My children home school. Right. I'm doing this shit for the streets, but I just kept that in mind, and like that kept me going for a long time.
Well, man, I'm happy to be any support, you know, at any level, man. I'm happy to be some inspiration, some support.
Yeah, for sure.
and example, if any way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we're talking about real estate, do you know that Shaq just opened up an $80 million luxury building in his hometown of Newark, New Jersey?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, Newark, New Jersey is on the come up. It's the neck, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Atlanta.
I was just there probably like a month ago.
Yeah.
I got a homie out there named Benedict who do a lot of real estate.
Right. And you know, Newark used to be the hood.
Yeah,
they call
for
this
sure.
shit Brick City. You understand me? Shaq and Queen Latifah, they out there buying all that shit. And doing the right thing,
getting
in the way, you know.
80
what I'm
million? No, I ain't know that.
80 million.
I don't know how I missed that.
And you know, the thing for me is, I'm impressed by that because I saw this happen. You know, I heard Jay talk about when it happened in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he wish he would have.
Yeah,
wish he would have known what was going on. He could have caught. He could have caught it. A Puff talked to me about when it happened in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And even here in Atlanta, I see on the east side in Kirkwood, which is, you know, zone 6, you know what I'm saying, where a lot of your favorite rappers are from. I seen Neighborhood is transformed,
right.
Fourth Ward and Boulevard over in that way. I seen that hood transform. At Grant Park, which is another hood on the east side, I seen that hood transform. And it didn't really mean nothing to me until they brought their ass to my hood.
Right.
When I saw a white lady walking her dog down Bankhead. You hear me?
Right, I ain't gonna lie.
A them gay
two,
couple
them
with
the
a garden
I see.
On Simpson Road. You see what I'm saying? Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'd be damned if I'm going to endure the worst that this community has had to offer. Dodge bullets and risk my freedom
right. And
survive it all.
Mm-hmm.
And only to see other people who didn't have to endure those circumstances come in and deem it as valuable and I not participate.
Right.
So I did what any man who has that thinking would do. I got in the way.
Right.
I took my money at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask for no damn loan. Everything I own cash,
right,
including where we sitting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't asked for no loan. You know why? Because I can't wait on you to approve me and think that I am, you know, a valuable or good enough for
right.
you in order for you to loan me some money to do it. If I was waiting on somebody to give me a loan for any of the properties I have, mm-hmm. I'd still be waiting. I wouldn't have shit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Including the Trap Music Museum. That's a building. I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I bought the building, I'm like, man, what are we going to do here? Then we was just, you know, kind of brainstorming. Like, man, let's do a museum. And it's like, damn, what are we going to do it? And then when we start talking about doing a museum, because it was only for the purpose of celebrating the 15th anniversary of Trap Music,
mm-hmm.
which was last year. That's when we opened. It was only supposed to be a temporary installation, but the demand called for us to remain open indefinitely.
Right.
And we still open, lying around the corner up the street right now.
Oh yeah, bro, I've been there.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Around the corner. Yeah.
Hey, it's a blessing. It's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were waiting on somebody to one fund the idea of a mm-hmm. Trap Music Museum,
right,
never would happen. If I were waiting on someone to fund the purchase of this building,
mm-hmm.
never would happen. So waiting on other people to see, that's why God gave us the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get out there, and if we got to wait on other people to see it along with us, I ain't going to keep waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took my money at the bank, bought that building, also, I got a liquor store and some you know houses next to it, which is an assemblage that I'm going to, you know, eventually build a mixed use building.
Mm-hmm.
There's another building on the opposite side of the Trap Music Museum, which is sitting on probably about an acre and some change that we grab, and three more commercial buildings like on Front Street on Bankhead.
Gotcha.
Like all of that came from. Oh, and along with the plaza that I told you about earlier, all of that came from just the thought of, I'll be damned if they gonna come over here and goddamn make
right.
this shit, you know, a half a million to $650,000 house neighborhood, and I'm not involved.
Right.
And I think all of us should take the same approach.
Mm-hmm.
All of us should take it personally. You know, because a guy that I spoke to, he's a pastor, but he's a buddy of mine. And he say, the answer to the problems that plague the black community has always been make enough money, move out, and never look back.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is how we solve our issues in the community, how can we ever look down on somebody who sees value in something that we've abandoned?
Right.
You did.
Yeah.
And that made me think about, because when I got my money and I would think about buying a house, I thought the same thing. I'm finna get far away as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When in actuality, if I'd have took my money, man, and built somewhere closer around there,
mm-hmm.
I would be making money instead of losing money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now my house is really just like an heirloom and it got sentimental value. I'd never sell it. But I would have had, it would have been more of an investment
mm-hmm.
had I goddamn bought a house in Kaya Heights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And bought two houses and built and put them together and
mm-hmm.
made me a compound.
Amazing.
Which is hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's why when you doing this right here, right now, and you know what I'm saying, you seizing the moment,
mm-hmm.
bro. I think, man, that shit is exemplary. And
it's something
that your peers and the people who are around you should celebrate and support.
Appreciate that.
That's why whatever I can do for you, you know what I'm saying? I won't. Give me 10 of each book you got,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? You can ship it to me however
you're
going to bill me. If it's cash or, you know, go, what the online shit? Cash App. Yeah, that what the kids do. Cash App, Zelle, you know, PayPal, all that shit. I don't have none of it, but I figure out a way, man, because I think it's our job to support people like you who out here doing it the right way.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Now, according to Fortune magazine, there have been just 16 black CEOs at the helm of Fortune 500 companies since 1999. Mm-hmm. And currently, there are only 4 black CEOs. Why you think that is?
I'm going to say, for one, I think a lot of them may want to be under the radar because our success ain't, you know, our success is not viewed and handled like other demographics of people's success. Because I know it's even been a lot of opportunities. Like one of the people that handled my PR, I remember him mentioning Forbes. And I remember thinking about, like, damn, I'm on the type of phone calls I'm going to get from my relatives if they know, like, what type of ROI we bringing in with these board games and things of that nature. So I think, one, that might be a reason. And two, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. From my perspective, at one time I was, but for the most part, I know these days, I get more satisfaction out of being celebrated by my culture than really like being inducted into theirs and them giving me a pat on the back. So I think it may be that, or it may just be the simple fact that a lot of those factions are still biased.
Yeah.
Or a lot of us may not really be seeking that ownership and that CEO. I think more of us are doing it now.
Right.
But to peddle it to that level, they may have to put in 15, 20 years to even get it to that level.
But I think the system wasn't designed to support the idea of us getting to that level.
Yeah, exactly.
You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. It was designed to prohibit us from making it to that level. Which brings me to my next question now. And I mean, it accompanies the first one. How do you think that we can move the culture forward, right, and get smarter and more successful black businessmen and women to occupy those CEO chairs?
Got you. I think for the most part, it's gonna sound cliche, but it's gonna come from the unification.
Right.
I think a lot of us already being our own way, and a lot of us, like I said, we got poor self image. So we really, that's some type of shit that's in our wildest dreams, to see our peers grow up to be CEOs and things. Like, I've had people that went to the same school I did. We had the same level of education, same opportunities, that'll look at me crazy or feel like I was lucky or I had something better than them because I got to where I'm at.
Right.
So I think, too, our culture has a huge sense of entitlement that hinders us a lot of times. But for the most part, big bro, I think support is the biggest thing, because, like you said, I mean, they talk about it every year, but we have a hell of a lot of spending power.
Right.
A lot of times we just pour it into things that don't regenerate value.
That's true.
Or that don't really push our culture forward.
That's true.
Like, for every opposite product, there's somebody in our culture that's doing something damn near identical or doing that same exact thing.
Right. Instead of making things that can collectively support one another.
Right. We'd rather just venture out, do a hell of a lot of support with them, and then sprinkle a few dollars. Like, I love that episode with Mike when he did the when he just went straight black. But I think that really got to be done. And
you're talking about trigger warning.
Yeah. I think our culture economics would be way stronger, but we definitely, a lot of times, just be on our own way, and it internally, for some reason, it's like paying us to help somebody that look like us.
I think that's definitely, I think if we were to pool our resources together, we'd be able to accomplish a lot more than we are right now. That's why, you know, when you said that and mentioned the thought of buying a building or a school, I supported that because I know that we need more of that. Mm-hmm. And what we need now, Killer Mike and I, we actually purchased a building that, you know what I'm saying, we're going to open a seafood restaurant. And we did that together. Mm-hmm. And that just came from, because I was already kind of motivated to buy up a lot of stuff. And I had like 3-4 things that I was about to close on. I had done kind of stretch my cash a little, you know what I'm saying, a little farther than I wanted to. And I say, and Mike and I always had these discussions. I just picked up the phone and they say, "Hey man, I'm finna buy that building, man. I'm finna buy Bankhead Seafood. You want to come in with me?" Mm-hmm. He was like, "How much?" I say, "Man, I got it down to $365. So, you know what I'm saying, it's gonna be like, you know, $157. Know what I mean? And he was like, "Well, I was just finna buy the new Demon, but I guess I just won't buy my new Demon, and I just, you know what I'm saying, I buy the building with you." So we put our bread together and bought the building.
Gotcha.
And you know what I'm saying, that's something we all need to do now.
Right.
If me, you, Killer Mike, David Banner, DC Young Fly, Jay Morrison, Carlos Miller, and, Lil Duval, Charlemagne the God, all of them put up $100,000 a piece. Go grab some. Boom. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Something big is something that you that kind of establishes a unit of a collective system that that we moving together and we pooling our resources together to grow something. That concept is something that I learned by listening to Nip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When were you first introduced to Nip and his philosophies, and had you ever met him?
Yeah, yeah. First time Bullets Ain't Got No Names Volume 2. And I was just a fan at that point. We didn't meet till me and Nip met. We spoke a couple times because Nip had bought the parenting curriculum probably like four years ago.
Right.
And we rapped back and forth on the internet. We ain't politic in person until Victory Lap.
Gotcha.
And I remember it was funny. First thing he says, he's like, bro, I got to bring Imani to Florida so Derek can show about them guns. I don't know. It was a lady on his team, though. She's like, Imani don't know nothing about them guns. But we politic shortly there, and then we talked again when he did the deconstruction for the album, which was a that's one of like my best but most daunting memories, because I remember it was in a little studio room like this. He politicking on the album. And they did a break. And my baby mom was like, you ain't finna go holler at Nip? I'm like, no, it's a gang of people here. I ain't never met him. I'll leave him alone. We could talk anytime.
Right.
Yeah, I ain't tripping. And then not knowing, like, that was the last time I was gonna actually see him. And then for my 30th birthday, I booked him. We sent the bread out. we sent the deposit out March 15th.
Damn.
And then 2 weeks later, we got the call. And they was like, yeah, you know, of course he ain't gonna make it, XYZ, but... No, that last time I seen was at the deconstruction. I'm like, damn, I should have went to holler at bro. I was trying to be nice and shit, like, oh, let everybody else. They ain't never met him.
Right.
Not knowing that was the last time. I was
Seize the moment, because time is fleeting.
For sure.
Is the lesson that came from that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I God bless him. I miss him. You know what I mean? And his passage just made me kind of like at myself, man. It's kind of like what you just said. All those time we was like always saying, yo, man, we gonna get up, man. Look, man, we gonna for real, man. We gonna get up this time, man. Nah, man. Look, man, I'm gonna hit you, man, when I get there. We gonna, you know what I mean? We did that so much that the times that we actually spent together pale in comparison of all the times we could have together. If I would have did, I remember one time he came down here, man. I took him to the Dave Chappelle, took him and we all just chilled. You know what I mean? We went to a Dave Chappelle show, and then afterwards, you know. We was backstage kicking shit. Then we all decided to go to Magic City. So we went to Magic City and kicked it and hung out and chilled. And afterwards, I think we was all lit like a motherfucker. We went when we went in. He was like, "Yo, I owe you, man. When you come out to L.A., man, just hit my line."
Right.
And you know what I'm saying, dinner on me, you know. And I never, you know what I'm saying, when I went out there. That time, I had my own shit going on, man. Just never got around to hitting him.
Right.
Now, we saw each other, you know, time and time again, even beyond that. But I'm like, man, that time was an opportunity. I feel like those are moments that we all got to do a better job with other of, you know, making good on, because we don't know how much time each of us, any of us have.
Right, right.
You own 100% of everything that you do.
Absolutely. Everything.
100% of everything.
Everything.
Why is that important to you? And would you ever take on a partner?
I mean, that's important. Like I said, like, I ain't gonna lie, my biggest teacher on that was Nip.
Right. Just
showing how we could, one of the biggest things I love, bro, is creative control.
That's real.
And I know, like, if I had commercial ties, I wouldn't be able to say some of the things I say.
This is true.
They might tell me how to look, how to dress.
You just have to choose your partners carefully.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
You have to have like-minded partners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Worst thing in the world is being in business with somebody that you just can't see eye to eye with, but you stuck with them.
Right.
That's a very bad feeling.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, you know, Nip came to me, man, and asked me how to, you know, this was back when I turned a merch item. A Hustle Gang t-shirt, some hoodies, just merch items. I really was giving them away one year for BET Weekend, but they were so dope and people liked them so much.
Right.
You know, the quality of the garment was good, the design was dope, and motherfuckers just kept asking for them. So we're like, shit, after the weekend, we started selling them.
Right.
And we sold so many so soon, like distributors started calling us, because we already had a clothing line with a coup, but our partners in a coup, the manufacturers and distributors we partner with, called us like, hey, man, you got retailers asking about this other thing you're doing. What is this? Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, it's a merch item.
Yeah.
But ultimately, after we made probably about $750,000 and maybe from September to New Year, we made like $750,000, close to $1 million off of just T-shirts, hoodies. You know what I mean? And it was like, yo, Hannah was like, I'm tired of packaging and shipping this shit. Right, so I want to hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah.
And we did a deal with the same manufacturers and distributors that do, that we partner with for a coup, which is RP55. And so when Nip saw that, he said, man, how did you take this, just this plain hoodie, and turn it into a full on line? I was like, well, I started out doing it myself. And then, you know, I created the demand for it. And then after that, I just went out and partnered with a manufacturer and a distributor to do all the hard work and heavy lifting for me. And all I got to do is market it and promote it. And we got to, you know, we do a revenue share. And an equity split. He was like, all right, cool. But what about the manufacturing and the distribution side? Like, how do you, how is that done? I said, well, see, Nip, I told you, I ain't got to worry about that. Could they do it? He's like, nah, okay, cool. So he basically took that information and said, well, I'm going to cut these people who he partnered with out, and I'm going to do all that shit myself. And I'm going to go even further. I'm going to be the retailer. I'm going to create a destination for people to come and grab my shit. I'm manufacturing, I'm distributing, and I'm the retailer. That shit was like, he basically took what I did and, you know what I'm saying, and one-upped it. That shit, that was real cool. And that was like one of the fondest memories that I have of bro. You know what I'm saying? Him taking what I did and flipped that shit on his head and turning it into the marathon clothing. That shit dope.
Speaking from him too, some of the things I got, well, I got that from him as well, but just, I basically assess what entities or companies help my business to be successful. And then at that point, I try to remove our reliance on those entities and companies. So just like another example, we launched a security company because before I'm running around with like, you know, eight chains on and I need somebody who may not have my best interest in a shootout to have my back. Although I carry two, but I'd rather create a family structure because I feel like it's a best interest.
Sure.
I feel like my pops gonna make sure somebody not able to shoot me before a stranger is. You feel me? So I've tried to do the same thing. Well, we've done the same things, but bro, it was thanks to Nip. He showed me a lot of them things. Even with the authoring, from self-publishing to we set up our own self-publishing company if we had a voice.
Okay.
So now, like, we do out from the writing to the editing. We do everything from scratch, and then we're able to monetize it to where those funds are reciprocated back. That's 100%. So, bro, I know exactly what you mean. Even, like, with China, like, it get costly making the board games because we do everything out of pocket, but I ain't gonna lie, that return.
That's real.
You can't be mad at that return.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you have developed an intellectual property for yourself. Well,
exactly.
You know, for one, you making money along the journey, but when you get there, ain't nobody to hold nothing over your head.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody to, you know, assume the credit for your success. But you. And I think it should be celebrated.
Appreciate it, bro.
And that's what we're about here, man. You know, having the discussions with people who push the conversation forward for the culture and the generation. That's what Expeditiously is about. And now you've made it to the speed round. So I'm going to just rattle off a question, and you just off the top of your head, just answer them like quick. Okay. How do you define success?
Doing what the fuck I want.
Who is giving you the best advice?
Malik Youssef and David Banner.
Okay. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs listening?
Creative control, hesitate to give them equity, and do shit your way.
In your opinion, what's the number one way to build wealth?
Investing in your children if you have them.
What goals do you still have set for yourself?
I want a college course taught on my teachings, and I want a statue in my city, and it must have my tattoos included.
Now this is a tradition, but this is new. This is something different, okay? Because I've said before, exceptions are made for exceptional circumstances. I think you are exceptional. I think you can handle this. So we have a tradition here. The tradition is that we will give a word of the week. Word of the week is usually based off of the conversation or the guest or both. But see, usually I give the word of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because I know you are so exceptionally gifted and intelligent, I want you to pick one of your favorite words you think people don't know. You dig what I'm saying? I know you got a slew on, and I want you to give them the definition, and I want you to use it in a sentence so they can go and use it, you know, at work tomorrow like they always knew the word they self.
I got you. Word of the week. I don't love it, bro. This one going to be a little, this one going to, it's simple to me, but I've seen this, I just seen this, this, the opposite of this done so much that I just want to put it out there.
Okay.
And it's really geared towards the fellas.
Okay.
The word of the week is alluring. I see so many fellas that slide in the DMs, they slide in the comments and things of that nature, and they just use these old, outdated lines of beautiful, you fine as fuck, you fine as hell, you bad, XYZ. One of the things I learned with women is they can appreciate a high level of verbiage.
Mm.
And they can appreciate when you actually hit them with something that make them do their Googles and figure out how beautiful you're trying to tell them that they are.
Right.
So for me, Rick Rowe, the word of the week would be alluring, because a lot
Which means the definition?
Alluring. Powerfully and mysteriously attractive or fascinating. Seductive.
Mm.
You know, I just learned, Rick Rowe, in the midst of the conversation, they can appreciate a compliment and some education at the same time.
That's real. Now, use alluring in a sentence.
I mean, in my old DM, I don't slide in DMs no more because I'm much more well-behaved and disciplined these days, but...
But she got you, don't she?
For sure.
She right there, too. She holding the pistol. She's like, oh, forget where that pistol at.
But, I mean, no, bro, I said
use in the sentence. Use alluring get in the sentence so people can go fake like they knew it all the time.
Gotcha, gotcha. Good morning, goddess. I just had to remind you, you know, of how alluring you are. I don't mean to bother you, but I just caught myself stalking your page today, you know, and just leave it at that.
You can say that to her, too.
I probably did use that word. That's one of my favorites.
Hey, man. Well, listen, brother. I appreciate you, man. You know what I'm saying? For
appreciate
sharing
you, bro.
Your wisdom, your perspective, your philosophy, and your vocabulary
hey,
with
bro.
The people here expeditiously. And tell them all the things you have for them to support you on.
Got you. All right, y'all. So all the books, the curriculums, the learning guides, the learning tools, one-on-one consultations, tour dates, everything can be found at DerrickGrace2.com, DerrickGraceTwo.com, or DerrickGraceIHB, which stands for InHomeBanking.com. Also, don't forget, not this fall, but this spring, we're dropping the first ever child black action figure. Derrick will be coming out with her own doll. It's gonna be 4 foot tall.
Yes, sir.
Check out the IG. I don't want to give y'all too many details on what it's coming with, but it's definitely gonna be a game changer. So, and like I said, in-home banking is transitioning to the video game world, so we'll be on PS4, Xbox, and PC this fall as well. So I go with my government name. If you Google Derrick Grace, everything that I put my energy, my time, and my oxygen into is going to pop up. And that's where y'all can support everything.
You did. And look, all the books you got, like I said, I want about 10 of them a piece. How many books is it?
I got 5 books and 7 curriculums.
5 books and 7. Damn, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just put me, give me 5. Give me 5 of everything. Give me 5 of everything. Damn, you got a lot of shit, man. But I want to buy everything you got, Jay, because I think it should be celebrated and supported. I appreciate you, man,
appreciate
for
you
all
there,
that you're doing. And even more importantly, I appreciate you for representing for your generation.
Thank
that you can look like this and still be well-behaved, still be a man of respect.
Absolutely.
And still be an intellectual, still
sure.
be an entrepreneur, and, you know, and still be a father to your children and a leader for your community and the
Absolutely.
Head of your family. So I appreciate that, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Love and respect.
Appreciate that.
Derrick Grace, everybody. Expeditiously. Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.